Shalom, everyone. Good evening or good morning, at least here. Thank you very much for joining. It's great to be back in Chicago. I think it's a little bit warmer where I am, in about 30 or 40 degrees. But otherwise, it's good to be back. And I think it's a wonderful opportunity to discuss something that this is something I don't think I've ever thought of, but as part of the craziness of our world, it has come up to discussion the last few weeks. It's been a lot of social media issues about it as well. About the headline is "Let My People In." We are reading in our parashiyot in Sefer Shmot about "Let my people go out of Egypt," and now some 3,000 years later, we're talking about "Let my people into Israel," which is, seems a little off because we're not in Israel. We've been here already for 73 years, but because of the pandemic, tourists are not allowed into Israel, and we're not going to discuss the politics around it because obviously all the decisions are being made by politicians, and therefore there are political views to be discussed as well. And I will try not to discuss those. But I think there are some core values, core Jewish values that we could discuss as well. But allowing Jewish tourists into Israel during a time of a pandemic, and I think I'm not exactly the most English literature specialist, but I did come across this this quote that is here on the source sheet, the first source, about the definition of home. Robert Frost, excuse me, describes how home is the place where, when you have to go there, they have to take you in. And Israel is known in its in the Declaration of Independence, of written by David Ben Gurion, talks about how Be'eret Yisrael kam ha'am ha'Yehudi, in the land of Israel, the Jewish people gets up, and it's known that that Israel is the home for the Jewish people, not just for the Israeli citizens or the Jewish citizens that live in Israel, but rather it's for the entire Jewish people. And it's something that comes up many times in discussions, also in political points as well, how Israel is really the home of the Jewish people, the home for all the Jews, not just for the Israelis living in Israel at this point. And many times it is hard for I think the lawmakers to really understand and appreciate the fact that Israel represents the Jewish people in many different aspects. And I think this is an example that wasn't really thought of all the way to the end, because obviously the most simple understanding is, okay, well, it's a pandemic, we're not letting anyone in. Pikuach nefesh, it's dangerous, and that's the end of the discussion. But we all know that even though it's dangerous, lots of different things are going on, and basketball games are going on as usual, and basketball teams are allowed in and out of the country throughout, and many other things that are just a matter of different understanding or different things that are important, and therefore there's a need to really understand how much the decisions are being made have a reflection not just on people who are not allowed to be tourists in other places, but us as Jews. It's not just a matter of tourism, it's also a matter of a deeper and stronger connection that we have to the land of Israel, the state of Israel. And therefore I want to discuss from that approach. The Torah describes, we read about it 2 weeks ago, about when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe and Aaron to tell Paro in source number one, Ko amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, this is what Hashem said, Shalach et ami, let my people go, as we all know. V'yachogu li b'midbar, of course, the reasoning or the whole concept and reason for letting my people go is to worship Hashem in the desert. As we know afterwards, the Bnei Israel get the Torah in the desert and then obviously ultimately come into Eretz Israel with that Torah. And that is the fulfillment of the Jewish people living a life of Torah, worshiping Hashem in Eretz Israel. But for many reasons, that doesn't always come out to play. We've been in the diaspora now for more than 2,000 years. And Ray the Gemara and the Mishnah discuss it in source number two in Masechet Ketubot. There is a discussion about what happens if one wants to go to Eretz Israel and someone else does not want to. Source number two, Hakol Ma'alin Eretz Israel Ve'in Hakol Motzin. Everyone is allowed to, or even is allowed to, force someone else to go to Eretz Israel, and you're not allowed to take someone out of Eretz Israel if he doesn't want to. So the Gemara discusses Hakol Ma'alin Le'atuyah. What is Hakol? What does it come to point out? Le'atuyah Evadim also talks about slaves and what is slaves. What does slaves have to do with anything? If a so the Gemara didn't discuss is that if a slave runs away from Eretz Yisrael, he doesn't want to go back because he doesn't want to be a slave anymore. So obviously this is a different time and a different approach towards slaves. But the bottom line of the Gemara is that you're still allowed to take him and force him back to Eretz Yisrael because it's a mitzvah to be in Eretz Yisrael. And even though we prefer the well-being of the slave is more important, and we would want that slave to feel as good as he can, and if he was running away from his master, there's a reason for it. Still, we could force him back because there's a specialty of being in Eretz Yisrael that overcomes even that. And the bottom line in source number two is. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol HaMehalech Arba Amot Be'eretz Yisrael. Anybody who walks 4 steps in Eretz Yisrael, Muvtach Lo Shuv Ben HaOlam Haba. He is promised to be to the world to be to the Olam Haba. This doesn't mean that he has to live in Eretz Yisrael. Usually, we think that only if you live in Eretz Yisrael or if you make Aliyah. Here it says anybody who walks 4 steps. So you would assume that he is also now even. To eliminate that, or to not allow someone to go in Eretz Yisrael, even to take 4 steps, even to come for a visit, is denying him of his right or of his ability to become someone who has the opportunity to live in to work to accept Olam Haba. Shulchan Aruch in source number three brings a fascinating idea that. That this is really, the main focus is the halacha of Shabbat. That if someone is going on a mission, and he wants to participate, he doesn't want to walk by himself. So he wants to be part of a whole group. So hayotzim ba they're walking in the desert together. Everybody knows that they'll have to be mechal Shabbos because of the danger. Of walking by themselves, they don't want to be by themselves or walk by themselves. So, 3 days before Shabbat, they're already not allowed to leave. You can't start walking on Thursday because ultimately you won't get to where you want to get to in time for Shabbat, and that's going to be dangerous. So, therefore, you have to leave at least on Wednesday. And preferably even earlier, so you won't have to be stuck on the way or in a danger place. So you won't have to be Michal Shabbos. But haole le'eretz Yisrael, somebody who's going to Eretz Yisrael, in hizdamna lo she'ara afilu be'erev Shabbat, if there's a group of people that are walking by, even if it's on Friday, kivan de'dvar mitzvahu yechol lifrosh, because it's a mitzvah to go to Eretz Yisrael, then you're allowed to start walking even on Friday, even though it means that absolutely you will be in a danger place on Shabbat and you might have to be Mechal Shabbos. That's okay, because the benefit of having the mitzvah of going to Eretz Yisrael overcomes it. Ufosek kimahem nishbot. Obviously, you have to stop with them on Shabbos. You're not allowed to walk. You do have to stay put on Shabbat. V'im achar shiyu b'midbar lo yirtzu lishbot imo. But if they're stuck in a danger place, or they'll be in the desert, and they won't want to stay with him. They won't want to stay stuck in the desert on Shabbat. You're allowed to walk and continue to walk with them, even though you're violating many Shabbat issues, because pikuach nefesh is more important. But no one forced you to be in this pikuach nefesh. No one forced you to danger yourself in this situation. You should have stayed home. No, because Shulchan Aruch says it's better off. You're allowed to continue. You're allowed to walk. You're allowed to do these things that will violate Shabbat, will violate many different aspects, because of the mitzvah of going to Eretz Yisrael is more important. And the Magen Avraham, one of the Meforshim on the Shulchan Aruch, points out the Haole l'Eretz Yisrael. So one would have thought that the Shulchan Aruch says Haole, someone that makes Aliyah. V'dok al dat li'tyashev. Maybe this is true only if you're making aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, not just anyone who's coming to visit. And there are those that say that even if it's just for a visit, because even just walking in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah. So from this you could understand that even if you have an opportunity to come to Eretz Yisrael, and the only way to do it is on Friday, and you might have to violate Shabbos, and it might be dangerous, and it may be other things, you're still allowed to do it because of the special mitzvah of going to Eretz Yisrael. Another of the Meforshim about this point is the Machatzit HaSheker, and he also says, like it says the Gemara in Ketubot, because of this special promise that anyone that walks in Eretz Yisrael will be part of the Olam Haba, then you're allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael, even if it means that you might be Mechal Shabbos, and even if it might be a little dangerous and things like that, it's okay, because the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael will overcome it. In source number 4, we have a famous response from the Maharam Rotenburg from many centuries ago, that he's talking about something else, but he points out here that it is clear to all the rabbis, the Kim Leula Rabbanan, the Ein Kol Echad Yisrael She'en Lo Dal Adamot Be'eretz Yisrael, that every single person in Israel has, any Jewish person that who lives in Israel, any Jewish person in the world, owns 4 Amot in Eretz Yisrael. Now, it doesn't mean you can walk into Eretz Yisrael and say, hey, those are mine. But it means that you have a part in Eretz Yisrael. As a Jewish person, you have a part in Eretz Yisrael. And if you want to say, well, the goyim took it, and we're now in exile, we're in the diaspora. There's a saying, there's a point that you can't steal someone's property. And it always belongs, and it's always in the possession of Israel. The land of Israel is called Israel because it belongs to the Jewish people. So therefore, it always belongs to us. And even if we're not here, for whatever reason it is, it still belongs to me. You can't say it's not mine. Therefore, you can't deny me of my right or of my ability to come to Eretz Yisrael because it belongs to me. And even though I might not be a citizen now, or even though somebody else might be living there, it's mine. And one of the famous Meforshim, the Ran, And the Gemara in Masechet Nedarim points out that there's a concept, there's a famous concept of Dina de Malchuta Dina, that the ruling of the kingdom is the ruling. Even it could overcome even rulings of the rabbis or of the Jewish law to a point. He says that's only true about the goy. If there's a goy that is ruling over the state of Israel, then whatever he decrees, it overcomes even something, even the halacha. Mipnei she'aretz shelo. V'yachol lomar lehem, im lo ta'aseh mitzvotai, yagarash etchem min ha'aretz. Which is, it's an unbelievable statement. Because the land is his, it's a goy, but the land is his. Why? Because Hashem gave him the ability to rule over the country. And he could say, im lo ta'aseh mitzvotai, if you don't follow my rulings, yagarash etchem min ha'aretz, I'll kick you out. אבל במלכי ישראל, לא, but a Jewish king can't say that. לפי שארץ ישראל, כל ישראל שותפים בה. A Jewish king, a Jewish ruler cannot say to a different Jew that you have to follow my rules, and if you don't, I'll kick you out, because to a point, even though he's the king, all of Israel are partners in Eretz Israel, and the king doesn't have any more power over any other Jew in having the ability to kick him out. No, it belongs to everyone. We're all partners in Eretz Yisrael. It belongs to everyone, and therefore you can't force me out. So clearly, from these first four sources, Eretz Yisrael has a very strong connection to every Jew, and all of us have a strong relationship and a strong connection. Even on a almost on a monetary level, on a belongings level to Eretz Yisrael, not just on a spiritual approach, but also to a certain degree, it belongs to me. And if it belongs to me, then you can't kick me out, and you can't force me out, and you can't deny me of coming into Eretz Yisrael. But unfortunately, as we know, this is a time of a pandemic, and in a time of craziness, literally worldwide. And we know the famous pasuk in source number 5, "Ushmartem et chukotai ve'et mishpatai," should follow my rulings of Hashem, "Asher aser tam ha'adam v'chai bayam ani Hashem," that a man should do them and he should live according to them. I am Hashem. The very famous Gemara on this pasuk talks about Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, v'chai b'hem v'lo she'amud b'hem, and you should live by them and not you should die by them. And therefore, no, if the doctors say it's too dangerous, then it's too dangerous. Again, I'm not coming into the, I took a vaccine, I didn't take a vaccine. I'm not going into that point. Obviously, that already, I think, is a little bit more connected to the political aspects of it. But the concept of being extra careful and extra stringent in the case of pikuach nefesh, of literal danger for our lives, overcomes pretty much every other mitzvah besides the capital three of shfichut damim, avodah zarah, and ilui arayot, of adultery, of avodah zarah, and obviously of murder, of shfichut damim. Everything else, pikuach nefesh overcomes it, and nobody wants to use that phrase for no reason. Obviously, it has to be life and death, and in this case, it is very clear that it is life and death. So, therefore, maybe it is allowed. Source in the next source, source number 6, the Mishnah in Masechet Sanhedrin talks about the ability of the king to make a decrees, and he's allowed to start a war. He's allowed to take the Jewish people to war against an enemy. Obviously, you have to get the approval of the beidin. And once he does that, once he gets an approval, once he goes out for war, not just against an enemy that is clear, not just against an enemy that is oppressing. It could be any enemy that the king decides he wants to go against. And he's allowed to go through your field and make a path, even though it's your private property. You can't say, hey, this is my property, stop. No, if the king says, I have to go through here to get to wherever I need to get to, so it's allowed. He goes through it all. And understanding that the kingdom, the kingship, or the rulings of the king of Israel have are much more than just a, I mean, obviously this is a, before a democracy and a prime minister and presidents and stuff like that, but the concept of a king and his ability and his strength to follow his rulings, everyone has to go according to them. The response of the Ramah in source number 7, you would have think is talking about a whole different case. It's a little bit long and it's in Hebrew and it's, I won't start to really go word by word, but you could look into it and follow, and I'll try to say it over in English. It talks about a regular renter discussion. The question that is that he was asked, Reuven rents his house to Shimon, and time is up. The contract is up, and before the time is up, they make an agreement, they make a deal, they shake on it, whatever is the regular ruling in that city. And right before Shimon comes into Reuven's house to rent it, Shimon's wife is sick. She gets this crazy sickness. It's not even a real word. I don't even know how to read it, but he writes it here, Gael Zuchta Bla Lab, some kind of disease that was very common in Poland in the 15th or 16th century. And Reuven says to Shimon, I don't want you into my house. This is dangerous. Yes, I rented you my house, but obviously it was a basement or an attic or whatever it is. It wasn't like a standalone house. And therefore, he didn't want to be close to this person and their sickness. And Shimon says, Reuven says to Shimon, your wife is sick, and this is contagious, and it's dangerous, and I don't want it out, and I'm not expecting you to pay. It's okay, because you know it's an onus. This wasn't something you wanted, but I want out of the contract. And Shimon says, no, we signed the deal. So the Ramah says he can't get out of it. They made a contract, and he has to go in. And now you could see the difference between maybe the CDC and the modern medicine and what was known in the 16th century in Poland. But he says, I don't see a way how someone, a renter, can come out, can get out. He could get out of this decision, how he could get out of this contract. He says, and even if we say, okay, it's a very crazy case, and not everybody's wife, it's not just a regular flu. It's a serious sickness. Okay, so she's sick. So what? It's not a reason not to go allow her into your house. And then he says an unbelievable statement in the second, it's in the middle of the second paragraph. It says, Ki ma she'omer shu choli medabek, that he says that it's contagious. Kulo evel. That's nonsense. What does that mean? It's contagious. She's sick, not you. Only somebody who doesn't believe in God can say such a thing. If God wants you to be sick, you'll be sick. If not, then not. And then he says, but you know what? I did hear of this one kind of crazy disease that is very contagious. Maybe that would be different. But otherwise, I don't think so. So maybe today, the Ramah would say the same thing. This is a very contagious disease. It's something that's different. And maybe I could really force someone out of his legal contract. I don't have to follow it. This next responsa is even more interesting. It's about a doctor. This person from a shul. There's a shul that there's a doctor in the shul, and there's a time of a plague, and it's a very dangerous plague. and the doctors curing or dealing with all these sick people, and the people of the show want not they don't want to allow him into show. He's dealing with all these sick people. We don't want him in. Let him take care of the sick people. That's fine. He's a great tzaddik for taking care of these people, but we don't want him into show because it's going to get us sick. And maybe we could stop him and allow and make sure that he stays out. And he goes on and on here, and he says that obviously this the he says that the doctor should be kept out. And even though the shul belongs to everyone, still the line he says, "V'chivan shekin chayav ze arufei rechag mibnei adam shelo yiga v'reu b'chlal lo ta'amod adam re'echa." Not only does he have to stay away from other people, not to come close to them, not to touch them. If he does go to shul, it could be a violation of the mitzvah of lo ta'amod adam re'echa. Don't bring your fellow's blood to the sake. You're endangering your fellow Jew. Obviously, you don't want to do that. You want to just come to daven. You want to come and learn. You want to be something. But okay. But if there's a crazy time and things are dangerous and it's an extra precaution needs to be taken, then yes, I could force you out of shul to guard everyone else. And he says, "L'inyan deva v'magefa inenu aro'ot dehadbikut osa nezek." And you could see then he gives this. You could see when there's a plague, people get sick one from each other. And if the doctor, even though is a great guy and he tries as much as he can to save other people, but if he's going to endanger others, then we shouldn't allow him into the show. So if we take these last two, three sources, and we see how even on a legal contract or the shul or many other aspects, pikuach nefesh and safety and just straight out being careful and worrying for others' health overcomes legal rights or Jewish rights of going to shul and renting a house and many other things, because we want to make sure that people stay healthy. And if that means that some people will have inconvenience and won't be able to go to places they want to go or won't be able to do things that they want to do, it is sad. We don't want it to happen, and we pray and we daven that it ends as fast as we can. But we can understand how that will overcome other things. The last source I want to bring here, source number 8, is from next week's parasha, Parashat Beshalach. That when finally the Jewish people go into Eretz Yisrael, Vayasev Elokim et ha'am derech ha'midbar Yam Suf, the Jewish people go through the desert on their way to the Red Sea. V'chamushim alu v'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. Before we discuss what is v'chamushim, what does that mean? Most of them before we discuss how it was only 20%, v'chamushim, one fifth. 20% of the Jewish people go in because in the plague of choshech, of darkness, many of the Jews were killed because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want those people that were not deserved to go to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he didn't want them, he didn't want everyone else, he didn't want the Egyptians to see that they were killed and they weren't allowed in, but they ultimately did not go into Eretz Yisrael. And I think I bring this because we are fortunate to have the ability to come to Eretz Yisrael, and to those of us who are fortunate to live here or to visit, and we shouldn't take that for granted, because sometimes for many generations we weren't able to do it at all, and sometimes we think that okay, we won't do it now, we'll do it later. It won't work for us now, it'll work for us in a different opportunity. And then sometimes ultimately the opportunity goes away. No one would have thought 2 years ago that you won't be able to come to Eretz Yisrael for a visit because of a plague or because of a pandemic or because the gates would be closed. No, I don't think anybody would have thought about that. But unfortunately, it has happened. And even though I think I read on the news the other day that starting from next week, they are taking off all of the different rulings, and anyone who is vaccinated will be able to go to will be able to come. Although red countries, maybe yes, maybe no. Is America still a red country or not? Is also I think still in debate. In Israel, I think they're not, I think right now they are, but next week they won't be. All kinds of crazy different things that nobody really knows what's going to be tomorrow. And we should just be able to appreciate the fact that we have the ability to come to Israel, and we shouldn't take it for granted that we have this ability. And I invite you all to come as soon as the gates are open again, because you never know when they will close again. So please come as soon as you can, hopefully in good health. Hopefully this will last for longer. And the prayer that we've all been praying now for 2 years of that the plague will be taken away from us. Hopefully will finally come to play. I want to wish you all a healthy evening, a Shabbat Shalom already very soon. And thank you very much for participating. Nice to see you all. Shabbat Shalom. Good night. Good morning.
Shabbat Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.
And yes, we're supposed to be able to come in next week already. Bezrat
Hashem. Looking forward to seeing you all. Bye-bye.